hold in our hand a picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has left us. These are the only pictures that the Lord Jesus Christ has left for us to remember him. All these other icons that men sign and fabricate. In fact, when you go into a what they call a Christian bookstore, but it's just a religious shop, it's hard to even find a good copy of the Word of God. There's all kinds of trinkets and other things that are around there that people pursue. Just stop and pause for a minute to think about what the Lord has left us. The bread unleavened representing his body. He's talking about the tabernacle and the glory and beauty of his body. Well, this is the one picture he's left us. But not only the body, but blood shed. Just like that tabernacle. It was designed as a place where the blood was to be shed and offered unto the Lord. That was to continue until such time as Christ would come and fulfill it all in his life and in his death. This is all taken from Scripture in Matthew chapter 26. This is on the eve of our Lord going to the cross, where he instructed his disciples to go prepare for the feast day. Think about Christ partaking of the Passover. It wasn't because he needed that Passover, but it was because of who it represented. And that's why here, once they had been directed to the place, it says in verse 19 of Matthew 26, the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. It was an appointed place, an appointed sacrifice that was to typify the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me." This is not the first time he told me. But notice, one of you. It said elsewhere that he had chosen all of them, but one of them was a son of perdition. Even that God purposed. Think about that. People get upset when they think that one reason why God brought Judas Iscariot into this world was for this hour, to betray him. Now people get angry. They, what kind of God would do that? Create a person just to cast them into hell. Well, there are many souls, but that was the case, that were brought in this world, and God purposed to use them exactly as he ordained, even though unconverted and rebels, they prove by their nature that they deserve condemnation and then cast them down. But here it says, when he reminded them of that, when he sat about this table, imagine sitting there on the table, the Lord, they didn't know who he was. And here again, it just shows that Judas had him fooled. There wasn't anything in his outward way or manner or talk. People say today, "Well, walk the walk and talk the talk." He was doing everything according to Scripture, and yet a son of perdition. They didn't even know. They thought when the Lord told him to go do what he's going to do, he was going to go out and take some alms to feed the poor. He was a treasurer. They didn't know he was a son of perdition. They wouldn't have even had him be the carrier of the purse. But that's how God purposed it, that he was. But they began, it says in verse 22, to be exceeding sorrow. And began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" The way that's written in the original Greek, it's not I, it's Lord. Far be it that I should be that one. Such was the alarm. And here it says that they began every one of them to say unto him. That means that Judas, even outwardly, would have been playing along. I'm not even sure that Judas understood just how depraved his own heart was. He wasn't writing the script, the Lord was. He'd already worked this out to betray him with the Pharisees. And yet, outwardly, he was like, "It's not I, it's the Lord." answered and said, he that dipped his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. That shows you right there that he wasn't even able to change the course of what his heart was directing him to do. Even having heard it's going to be the one whose hand is dipped with me in the dish, that's part of the Passover meal, taking that sup, dipping the bread and eating it. And what we read here, the other disciples, apparently out of alarm, withheld, did not. That was the Lord keeper. But here he was. We don't know how much time went by. Ultimately, he picked up the bread. It's kind of like one who said, well, let's eat. If you're not eating, I'm eating. He said, the Son of Man goeth as it's written, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. There again, people were Catholic. And God saw it and said, well, he created them for him. Why would the Lord say, well, he's showing those. Even though he would be that one to betray according to God's purpose, yet he was fully culpable in what he did. There's none that be cast off in hell that can blame God in any way for not being of his chosen one for whom Christ paid the debt. That's a grace. So this is the Lord separating them out. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, thou hast said. Now, when you read over to John, you'll see that that's this point where he got up and left. Judas was not there when the Lord instituted what we're partaking of here, the Lord's table. He went his way. That's even here. This table isn't for everybody. That's called the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's table. So as they were eating, he was now gone. They continued eating that Passover. Jesus took bread and blessed them. Same bread, unleavened, but different purpose now. He blessed it and brake it, gave it to the disciples, and said, take me, this is my body. You hold this in our hand. Again, we're not superstitious. We're not thinking, oh, this is the body of Christ. It represents, it's a picture of the body of Christ. And so in eating it, we're mindful of what that body was. It was without sin. That's why it's unleavened. Roast with fire. That's why he came to lay down his life. But by itself, it does not make up the entire picture because there's also the cup. He took the bread, but he also took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. Because that's why this blood was shed, for the remission of sins. All those sacrifices in the Old Testament typified the covering of sin, but it wasn't put away, it was put away. And that was in the death of Christ. He said, for this, verse 28, is my blood of the New Testament. How is it new? It's newly fulfilled, newly accomplished by the death of Christ. And it's shed for, but not everybody, for many. The many is the way it's written in the original Greek. For the remission of sins. Apart from the shed of blood, there's no remission. So, as we partake here and give thanks, that's what we do. We remember his body. We require a body. The body is out prepared without sin and blameless. And yet, we're reminded also of his death. It's the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that represents all of our salvation. It said in verse 29, I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. He's not talking about the sweet by, but he's talking even now as we partake of this table. Bread representing his body, and this wine representing his bloodshed. Be mindful that even the Lord Jesus Christ is present with us. Some have made an idol even of this. They say, well, he's in the bread. That's why you'll see some, when they get the bread, they don't even put it in men's hands like we have. They've got to put it right on the tongue so they're one part of the fall. And they know Jesus just fell on the floor. And some, they make such a vow of blood, they won't even let participants drink of the blood. I don't know how that happened. The cup. And there are others. And it's amazing how idolatrous we are, because there's some that say, well, we don't want to diminish the value of it, so what we believe is somehow the Spirit of Christ is around the bread and around the cup, so that when we partake, that's where his presence is. They want to make an idol out of the cups. But what we do is, as Christ said, this new remembrance of me. So as we partake and eat and drink, we're remembering Christ. But his presence is where? With his people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So as we come, that's where we know his presence is. It's in our heart. By him we give praise and glory. But he's present. Wherever his people are, he's present. It says when they had sung a hymn in verse 30, they went out into the Mount of Olives. We're going to thank the Lord, our faith, and then we're going to sing great old hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Gracious Father, I thank you for your word preached. Thank you for this word declared even through these elements, which we're about to partake, the bread and the wine. And in so doing, that we remember the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for your presence even here with your people. In our hearts, you have made alive by your Spirit, in Christ in us. Mindful, give you all praise and honor and glory in Christ's precious name.